prophets always have a hard time of it. Partly because they didn't start out as prophets. No one is actually trained as a prophet. It is something that comes from inside, something that the prophet hears that starts to knock them a little off center. Whatever they thought their life was about, they discover it's about something else, always something larger, has a message. And it not only affects the people they talk to, but it affects them. Certainly this is the case with John, and it's the case with Amos, the two prophets we're given today. Amos especially says, I was a shepherd, an arborist, and got called out to do this other thing. We often think that prophets' job is to tell the future, but their consistent job, what all prophets in the Bible are doing, is telling the truth. And I shouldn't say the truth, because it's not that monolithic. They're telling it true. They're telling what roots itself inside them and resonates and burns and comes out directly as they're listening to God. There's a wonderful image that Amos uses today that gets at that. This image of a plumb line. So plumb line is just a piece of string with a heavy weight on the bottom of it. It's like current day contractor level that tells you, can lean it against any straight edge to tell whether it is perfectly vertical. And if it's not, there'll be a gap. That plumb line is not changeable. It is rooting itself to gravity, to reality. There's something true, often calling it truing a wall, truing a line. True is a verb. But it's not just prophets, career prophets, that have that inner plumb line. It's all of us. We all have this thing called conscience. This thing that is rooted inside us that often is not lined up with what we're hearing, or even sometimes with what we're saying. We're aware of this gap or this difference, something that is rooting us from a deeper place, speaking from a deeper place. And I'm not just talking about morality. We're all kind of wired by culture, but there's something that we tune to that's even deeper than that, ethics, this sense of honesty, of integrity. And I would say it even goes deeper than that, not just what should be, but what could be, hope. That deep orientation of the heart, that's also the prophet's role. So, if that's in all of us, why don't we all line up? You know, if the plumb line goes to reality, how do we explain our reality? Well, that's the particularity of being human, of being born in a circumstance with a set of life events, which doesn't exactly pull us off center, although that can happen too, but gives us a particular point of view so that we often don't line up, which is also the gift of humanity. This doesn't make us untrustworthy or untrue, just partial. None of us have the truth. Everybody needs everybody else. The wider the circle, the deeper the pool, the closer we're going to find our plumb line, the less gap there will be. But this is not easy work. And so a lot of us as humans over time have said, just give me a creed to recite. Just give me a Bible to follow. Just give me a leader to obey. That makes it easy. There's the plumb line. There's the straight edge. And it is easy. But it doesn't mean it's true. And that's precisely this image of this plumb line in the prophets, is that, that gravity is still gravity. Whatever the king says is straight up and down. The plumb line will say what it is. Or whatever the crowd thinks is popular, the plumb line will still tell the truth. Truth is a hard thing to talk about these days. It's a hard thing, especially when groups don't agree. In fact, it almost seems like the starting point of belonging to a group is to kind of decide what you're for and decide what you're against. And the divisions grow deeper and deeper in that kind of way of truth telling, where there's sides, which almost makes us instantly blind to other truths, other points of view. But community, a community of practice, what Rumi calls a community of the spirit, can and does do exactly the opposite. If we bring this prophetic voice back in and claim it as our own, it can endlessly clarify what is true. There's this story in the Old Testament where Moses has his leaders come to him saying, there's people prophesying, should we stop them? And he's like, no, I wish everybody were a prophet. I wish everybody spoke from that place. And Jesus says to his disciples, they're trying to figure out what's next, don't worry, the Spirit will lead all of you into all truth. Together you will get there. That is the core of, I think, of why we come here. We are not like each other. We are very unlike each other. That, though, is what gives us this truing force as we bring all of our truths together. Our experience of God together. We do this in ritual. We do this in deep listening and learning from one another. And that encounter, that friction, trues our lives, little by little, if we will stay with it. It is not easy, but it is good, and it is whole-making. And then, of course, it propels us back out into a world where there are, you know, talk about unaligned truths all over the place, to feel and be able to live a little bit more from that deep center of gravity, that plumb line that is within us and shared among us. That's where the work really happens, in the circumstances of our daily lives, helping us live true. We have been through an incredibly traumatic time. This is true. It's helpful to say it. And I think it's helpful as we regather to hear each other say it about our own experiences, which I don't think makes us feel even more traumatized, but it is part of the healing of that trauma. This week someone sent me an article that was talking about just the trauma of aging and how that can really change the feeling of the world, especially in a time of pandemic. Sharing that with me put me in touch with my own sense of fragility in this world right now. But it was a healing thing, strangely. Again, just like last week, you know, looking deeper into wounds of history can actually heal them. This is partly what sustains our life together. We're going to have a chance soon to be prophets to one another, prophets together. And I even know exactly when that's going to happen. September 18th. There's a date. It's already on the calendar. We're calling ourselves together, all of us, members, friends, new visitors, people who have been worshiping online, all together, on that day to listen really deeply to each one of our senses of the plumb line of God in our lives, God in this place. Who are we now? Where is that center? Where are we being led and directed? And I expect and I hope we're going to hear lots of things that don't all line up. That is not bad. I hope we can really hold a wide space for that. Because all of those plumb lines, all of those truths will true us more deeply to one another and to God and to whatever our path is and whatever our direction is. This is a deep listening event for every one of us, certainly for the vestry, who out of this great meeting on the 18th will say, what did we hear with the ears of our heart? And how do we, out of that, we will set direction for the next couple of years. So we're listening to do, but that takes everybody. And it really takes us all bringing the depth of our passionate awareness of that plumb line in our own lives. Our goal is not the truth. We're not voting majority positions. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. This is what makes this community really important and unique. I don't mean unique among others, just the kind of community it is. We're actually listening for the differences. Very often it is an outlying voice, somebody who says something that isn't what the group is thinking, that triggers a resonance of, oh, I just heard something important. We need to listen to you. Which I hope encourages folks who themselves feel like outliers to bring that, bring their truth. I'm talking about this now because this is a collective spiritual experience, and it takes time to prepare for that. We've got a couple of months, and my invitation today and in the weeks to come is to just start with this image of a plumb line. It's a powerful image. To walk with that. Start noticing where it shows up and where it resonates and where it is in you. You could just simply ask these, they're kind of pondering, wondering, noticing questions. What is true about this place for you? Use true as a verb. How does it true your life? What are the things that help you live more truly because of this place? Notice what rises up. Just keep asking more questions about that. Listen deeply. And then here's a practice. This has nothing to do with the 18th. It's just something that I have found painfully useful in the most wonderful way in my own life. It comes from Buddhist teaching. And it is, you do this every day, any day, in any situation, to what is called noticing the gap. The idea is that in all of our lives, for the rest of our life, there will always be a gap between what we say and what we do, what we think and how we behave. So we were never quite completely true, even if it's just a hair's breadth. And the practice is just to notice it. Notice where that little gap shows up. And if you really want the stretch, to go for the stretch, don't fix it. Don't try to repair it. Just notice it. And notice how it starts, by noticing it, starts to heal itself. It just starts to close up. Without violence, without more heroics. But just notice the gap. It's humiliating because notice how many gaps there are, but quite healing as well. And then, of course, I'll end with this practice. Come to the table. What we do every Sunday is a truing act. The Eucharist is our primary identity. It says, first of all, one table, one body, all of us, unlike community members, belong here. All are welcome. No one is barred for any reason. This is God's invitation. And at this table, we receive the one who offers himself for the healing of the world and become the ones who offer ourselves for the healing of the world. We take and receive and become. This is the plumb line. This is who we already are and who we are endlessly becoming.